The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I had a senior official from the Department of Homeland Security in my office before the second assassination attempt, saying that what he has assessed is that there are five known assassination teams in the United States, three inspired by other governments, two that are here that are known domestic assassination teams. And with that, this individual was coming to me concerned that the force protection around President Trump, even prior to that second assassination attempt, was not sufficient for what it needed to be.
Donald Trump was closer to death on September 15th than we thought. In a new federal court filing, we learned that Ruth had been staking out Trump at Mar-a-Lago and at his golf course for weeks. Even more chilling, investigators who sacked the sniper's nest found the rifle with the scratched-off serial number had a bullet in the chamber. And when the feds caught Ruth, they found two sets of license plates and six cell phones in his car, one of which Googled an escape route from Palm Beach to Mexico. So why did Ruth have so many phones, and where did he get the fake plates?
He took this a box with letters in it to a female, all right? The female says she first thought about opening the box when she heard that Ryan Ruth had attempted to assassinate the president. Now, I also understand that there are other letters in the box. This initial letter is apparently apologizing for not actually killing his intended victim. So my question is, are there other letters that indicate that if he did accomplish the goal that he set out to do, do they do something else? I want to know about all the other letters. I want to know what the relationship is. This guy doesn't have money to pay child support, so they let him off of child support. He doesn't have the money to get an attorney, so we give him, of course, a taxpayer-funded attorney. But the thing that absolutely infuriates me is the fact that the Department of Justice made a decision to publish this letter, which is so incendiary. And I said last week, the left won't be happy until they put a bounty on Donald Trump's head. And they just did by publishing that letter, saying $150,000, I'll give you $150,000 if you assassinate the president. This is, talk about unhinged. You want, I mean, this is a reason for someone who's unhinged to actually act on it. And the Justice Department says, look, the reason we let it out is to establish intent. That's nonsense. This letter is not only a call to arms, it is telling people, I'll reimburse you if you kill him.
And so now there's a bounty on Donald Trump's head. And it's put out, it's put out by the Department of Justice here in the United States. $150,000 reward offered to someone that will finish the job. Take him out. We've got to kill him. We need to murder the leading candidate for president of the United States. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Hopefully you enjoyed the hour-long interview with author and conservative filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. He was on the show yesterday. You can get to that at both those websites I just gave to you. I think it has about 33,000 views, mostly because Rumble helped us out a little bit promoting the show, putting it on its front page of live offerings. So quite a few people tuned in, and we're getting quite a lot of feedback as well. You can email the show with some feedback if you like, td@thetrumpet.com. So as Dinesh and I even discussed, all of these things that just don't add up. I mean, Jesse brought it out. So did Jeanine, Judge Jeanine. I mean, and then Matt Gaetz, I mean, he's in Congress. He's getting a briefing saying there's five, count them, five assassination teams that are after Donald Trump. This should be headline news everywhere. As it is, the regime media, they just sweep it aside. I had a little more time than I usually have yesterday morning because the interview was pre-recorded. So instead of watching 5 or 10 minutes of the top stories at Morning Meltdown, I watched about 20 or 25 minutes and January 6th, Jan 6th, Jan 6th, Jan, and then the MAGA supporters, they wanted to hang Mike Pence. They wanted to assassinate Mike Pence. It's been 3.5 years. And Donald Trump, he wants to execute Mark Milley. He wanted to execute Mark Milley. That's right. They mentioned that 3-4 times. Mike Pence being hanged 3-4 times. This is just one morning meltdown. Yesterday, 3.5 years on, they give more coverage to what might have happened to Mike Pence or Mark Milley than they do to actual assassination attempts, to actual threats. It's unbelievable. And then to see them say, hey, the rhetoric, that's not the cause of these crazies going after Donald Trump. We've got to still tell you that he's a threat to democracy. He's unfit for office. They've been saying that from day one. And now, I mean, this is their last option. We've got to kill him. And a lot of people are behind it. Look, you've got all these assassination teams after Donald Trump, and you've got members of Congress on the other side, not Matt Gaetz's side, but members of Congress that want his security, Donald Trump's, dialed back. Yeah, they actually proposed that just a few months ago. We'll get into some of the details of this, but first, just look at what the dear leader had to say. This is back in 2016, so we're talking eight, 9 years ago. Clip 8.
Given the Republican nominee's recent comments about the Khan family and his statement that if president, he would consider recognizing Russia's annexation of Crimea, does it make you question his fitness to be president?
Yes. I think the Republican nominee is unfit. He doesn't appear to have basic knowledge around critical issues. Doesn't have the judgment, the temperament. He's woefully unprepared to do this job.
Guess who else says he's unfit for office? Well, that would be Roth, the latest killer, the would-be assassin from just the other day. September 15th, was that the date? I remember July 13, but now there's so many dates. There's so many attacks. There's the Arizona gunman. He was on the loose, chasing after Trump and his team. Roth said, you read his manifesto, the DOJ has publicized it for the whole world to see. And isn't that convenient for Roth, who addressed his manifesto to the whole world? Dear world. Yes, this was an assassination attempt. Unfortunately, it failed. But somebody else has got to step up and finish the job. And I've got $150,000 for the one that will do it. And so there you go, a bounty on the head of Donald Trump. How revealing when in so many cases, the DOJ, they will fight tooth and nail to cover up the manifesto. We saw it with the trans shooter in Nashville. I'll get to that in a second. It took them 1.5 years just to get that manifesto because the DOJ, law enforcement, they wanted to cover it up. Because the crazy in that case, she hated Christians. And so she went into a Christian school and shot up Christians. But your official investigation, still, just, we can't quite come up with a motive. Same with crooks. We can't quite come up with a motive. Crooks, or rather Roth, you read his manifesto, the DOJ released it yesterday. He doesn't even sound like a crazy lunatic. He just sounds like a Morning Joe viewer, that's all. In fact, when you consider the angry, vile rhetoric on Morning Meltdown yesterday morning, you could argue that it was worse than the manifesto. the latest manifesto. Yeah, Roth just says that Trump's a threat to democracy. Well, so does Joe Scarborough. So does the fake president. So does Barack Obama. He's the one. This is a classic cover, by the way. Who's running the show? You hardly hear of the fake president anymore. They've made a big deal out of Jill Biden sitting in on the cabinet meeting. First one in about a year. But that's completely normal with these communists in control. They just do whatever they want. Jill can sub in, no problem. Miranda Devine says that Jill's running the country. Actually, it's the dear leader. It's the dear leader. There's others contributing, of course. But the dear leader from the beginning, he is unfit for office. He is not fit to be. And then he shocks the world. He wins in the 2016 election. And remember what Barack Obama said over and again now? We're America. We're going to have a nice, peaceful transfer of power here. Angel of light. Nothing but words. Because behind the scenes, he was cooking up the Russia collusion hoax. Yeah, and he was cooking up all of the FISA documents as well. He was cooking up all the spying technology to spy on Trump and all things Trump. The harassment with Comey and company through the FBI, the DOJ. And it's never let up. It has never, if anything, the rhetoric is more angry, it's more unhinged than ever before. As I say, the opening monologue yesterday on Morning Meltdown, it's more unhinged than Roth's manifesto. That's true. You've got all of the buzzwords from the regime's propaganda. Hitler comparisons. Yep, Jan 6, overthrow the government, threat to democracy, killed Mike Pence. He was going to kill Mark Milley. Just crazy things. And then they're also in the same breath saying, we don't have anything to do with these assassination attempts. And then after they cover it the day after, because they have to, then they just move on. And we're living in a world where Morning Joe gives more attention to something that might have happened to Mike Pence 3.5 years ago. Listen to more from Matt Gaetz. This was from a podcast just yesterday, clip 7.
5 teams that we know are targeting Trump. And so that raises real questions about why certain teams were being pulled off of the Trump deal detail and put on, for example, the Jill Biden detail. Now, we don't want anything bad to happen to Jill Biden, but at the same time, the threat envelope for her was substantially different than the threat envelope around President Trump.
Yeah, you remember Butler in July, the same weekend that Donald Trump was going to go there and they weren't going to put any kind of security on the buildings where that shooter found a nice, comfortable spot. He was shielded by trees and so on. The same weekend, Jill Biden, she decides at the last minute, you know what, I'm going to go to Pennsylvania. And then there was another one. I forget who the other politician was. But they had to spread the security detail out. And Donald Trump, he ends up with the team that the DHS provided. They weren't trained. They did see a video to get them ready. They sent in the counter snipers at the last minute, but they were obscured by the tree line. They didn't put any snipers or counter snipers on the building where Crooks just walked right up with his rifle, fired off 8 rounds. This manifesto, Ryan Roth, that's his first name. One handwritten letter addressed to the world stated, among other things, this was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I failed you. I failed you. I tried my best and gave it all the gumption I could muster. It's up to you. It's up to you now to finish the job, and I will offer $150,000 to whomever can complete the job. As Janine pointed out in the cold open, he can't even afford child support. He can't afford an attorney, so that's provided at taxpayer expense. But somehow he's sitting on $150K. He's offering that as a bounty to murder Donald Trump. I didn't get to see any of the meltdown this morning. I wonder if that even came up, the manifesto, the bounty, the assassination attempt on Trump, or if they're still into the dogs and the cats and all the threats that Haitians are facing in Springfield. Listen to Jesse Waters again. This is from his program last night, clip 3.
We're also learning about a strange box the feds claim that Ruth gave to a mysterious civilian witness months before he tried to take out Trump. The feds say this box contained 4 cell phones, ammo, tools, metal material, and some pipe, and a series of handwritten letters. The FBI released a photo of what they say is the first page of Ruth's letter. So in this purported letter, the FBI says Ruth was motivated to kill Trump because he believed the former president was unfit and destructive to America's moral fabric. Does that sound familiar?
The American people must decide whether Donald Trump's assault on our democracy on January 6th makes him unfit for public office. I've been saying for now well over a year, he is not fit to serve. Donald Trump is not fit to be the job of president, to be the commander-in-chief. And he literally is putting to the test this invisible moral fabric.
Ruth's letter purportedly says that he failed to assassinate Donald Trump and that he was offering $150,000 to anyone who could finish the job. So the Biden administration just released the assassin's manifesto that put a $150,000 bounty on Trump's head and called him unfit to serve. The same language Biden's used. The FBI wouldn't release the Nashville trans school shooters manifesto because they said at the time they didn't want to inspire more violence. But they published this guy's manifesto? And why'd they only cherry pick the first page? What else is in these letters? Law enforcement tells us publishing Ruth's letter is basically giving the public a blueprint for the next assassination.
Yeah, that's what law enforcement has taught us, right? Well, we can't release the manifesto because we can't incite more violence. And so they fought 18 months to keep you from knowing that the mentally unstable, deranged Nashville shooter, she hated Christians. She hated America. She hated conservatives. She felt like the whole world was out to get her. So she had to fight back. And she started by killing Christians. And Chris Ray and Merrick Garland, they want to keep all of that. And they're still unsure about motive, but they definitely wanted to keep the manifesto, 90 pages of it. Keep the manifesto from ever seeing the light of day. How revealing. I mean, they're exposing themselves. The manifesto, he's shot or nearly shot on a Sunday. The manifesto comes out 3 days later. The gal that had it in North Carolina, she takes a picture. She sends it off to the FBI. So that would have been what, last Wednesday? And then by Monday, the whole world sees it. Yeah, it took him 4 or 5 days. No problem. $150,000. I mentioned all of this angry, unhinged, vile rhetoric on just one typical Monday morning episode of Morning Meltdown. That was yesterday morning. Here's a montage from that show. This is just yesterday, clip 6.
And for those people that said, oh, nothing happened in his first term. Yeah, January 6th happened in his first term. The attempt to overthrow American democracy, to throw out a presidential election because he didn't like the outcome, happened. All those things Mika said happened in the first term. We survived. Democracy survived in spite of Donald Trump. But now, as we get in the home stretch, the anti-Trumpers who just can't admit they are going to vote for a man who tried to overthrow American democracy, who did what they did on January 6th, they're desperately trying trying to create the permission structure so they can vote for a man who said he was going to terminate the Constitution, that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs should be executed, that he told his staff members that Mike Pence deserved to be hanged. I could go down the list. I could do it for hours. Whose lawyers, own lawyers, said he could kill his political opponents using SEAL Team 6 and could not be prosecuted for it.
That Donald Trump's mental acuity here is declining precipitously, mentally diminished, forgetful, deranged, losing his train of thought, incoherent, babbling, all of that. I think we have to focus on that.
Blaming Democrats for violent rhetoric. For violent rhetoric. And never once mentioning Dan Hininger in your column that Donald Trump inspired January 6th, that Donald Trump stared repeatedly, we learned, at the most violent moments on January 6th, instead of calling it off, that those riots where cops were brutalized because of Donald Trump, brutalized, and four later died, their families say, as a direct result of January 6th. Donald Trump called those people that the cops' families say are responsible for their deaths, and those people that beat and brutalized cops with American flags, he called them patriots. He said they're hostages. As a January 6th choir, he told his legal counsel in the White House that maybe Mike Pence deserved lynching on the day of January the 6th. He said that Mark Milley should be executed for treason. He has used violent rhetoric repeatedly. You try to whitewash it and say it's the Democrats that are responsible for violent rhetoric because they say that Donald Trump may be a threat to American democracy. What do you call January the 6th? What exactly is a threat? What rises to the threat of democracy that we have ever seen in America since the Civil War? If what Donald Trump has done over the past 4 years does not. And a former president saying he wants the chairman of the Joint Chiefs executed because he was insufficiently disloyal. Actually, now, did anything I say there? Was anything I say there not true? Would you call that hate speech? Anything? Anything? No, I didn't think so.
What an embarrassment. I like how he says the cops on Jan 6 were brutalized. And then he says four of them. He does admit it happened later, but he says four of them died because of January 6th. Notice how he doesn't mention Roseanne Boyland. He doesn't mention Ashley Babbitt. Two women, two MAGA supporters, killed, murdered, you could say. It's a little sketchy still with Boyland, but everybody saw what happened to Ashley Babbitt on film, on video. She was shot dead by a Capitol Hill police officer. Notice how Scarborough doesn't even mention them. They don't count. Those two do not matter. It's just the police officers that died later from a stroke in the case of Sicknick. That is hate speech, what he just said there. It's propaganda. He's lying. The January 6th narrative is everything. It's the only thing they have to stand on. And that allows for them to say, look, the only one guilty of violent rhetoric, inciting crimes, is Donald Trump, because he killed those four police officers. He nearly executed Mike Pence. He at least wanted Pence to be lynched. He was about to execute Mark Milley for treason. This is just preposterous. A comment, and there's no truth to it in the first place, but supposing he made the comment to someone on the staff, how does that rise to the level that it does for an episode of this show 3.5 years later? And here we've had an assassination attempt on Donald Trump 8 days ago. And then the other one's 2.5 months ago. And there's 5 assassination teams after him. And then the FBI, they come out yesterday And they released the manifesto, the bounty on Donald Trump's head, proving without a doubt that the agency is irredeemable. You cannot fix this. The only hope would be to fully dismantle it and start over. This is from Red State. This was a few weeks ago. It just kept getting pushed to the back of my notes. This is about the Nashville shooter, the transgender. Nashville trans shooters, full manifesto released, and it makes the cover-up so much worse. Covered up for 18 months. In March of 2023, Audrey Hale, a 28-year-old self-described transgender man, i.e. a woman, who went to or by the pronouns he, him, entered a Christian school and opened fire. This is another mass shooting that quickly was brushed aside. Didn't fit the narrative, so let's just ignore this one. She left six people dead, including three children, before several heroic police officers arrived on the scene and stormed the building. Hale was quickly dispatched, a scene later shown by harrowing body cam footage. Further on in this piece, it quotes from her manifesto. The journal opens with the words, "Darkness and everything hurts." She said, "Why does my brain not work right? Because I was born wrong. Nothing on earth can save me. Never-ending pain. Religion won't save me." On the page following that, Hale wrote about wishing Hale's father was dead and being the most unhappy boy alive. Hale wrote, "It's a terrible feeling to know I'm nothing of the gender I was born of." Multiple pages featured the phrase "white nothingness." She had a real problem with Christians and white people, even though she was white. She hated Christians and she hated those that were guilty of white privilege. She, you see, was mentally deranged. She was crazy in the head, and she was also woke. Look at what these woke policies have done to, forget about her for a second. Look at what the wokeness has done to our federal agencies. The DOJ, the FBI, even the military. Hale expressed a desire for her father to die and raged against Christians and religion. At Red State, it says, "There is no question that Hale was mentally ill, but that's part of what makes her story so insidious. This was a woman who was clearly radicalized by far-left ideology, including transgender ideology and critical race theory. And this is why Chris Wray and Merrick Garland covered it up. We can't go after critical race theory. We can't expose far-left ideology. There's no angry rhetoric on Morning Meltdown that inspired shooters like this, mass murderers like this, and it's the same with the ones trying to kill Donald Trump. It's just totally random. It's just out of the blue. It's just happenstance. Happens all the time, right? Why did it take 18 months for us to see this manifesto and 5 days for us to see the manifesto written by Roth? And for all we know, there were other versions. He gave it to this woman a couple months ago. And he said, "I'm sorry for failing." So there were probably multiple letters. One, what if he succeeded? So many questions. Maybe it'll come out in court proceedings, but it'll probably just kind of drip, 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 just like the case with Crooks. And then hopefully the latest headlines a month or two now will just overtake it. And we won't hear about it again. But we can sure hear about the fact that Trump wanted to hang Mike Pence. It says here, "And was a male despite objective reality saying otherwise while seeing white people as subhuman." This is the Nashville shooter. She then transplanted her frustrations with her situation onto others by blaming Christians. That she targeted a Christian school was not a coincidence. That's where she wanted to go. That was the target. It's just like these would-be assassins going after Donald Trump. They're going after him for a reason. And to hear the regime media and even members of Congress try to say, well, last I heard, I think the shooter was Republican. So, yeah, we're not to blame. All of that vile rhetoric that you heard in the morning meltdown, that's not inciting anybody. No, that's just not, that's the truth. You heard Scarborough. Is there anything I said that's not true? I mean, we got to say it. We got to say he's unfit. We've got to say that he's senile. We've got to say that he's going to use SEAL Team 6 to murder people. The American people need to know this. They want another shooter. Chris Wray wants another shooter to come forward and finish the job, just like Roth said in his manifesto. It says here, keep in mind that the authorities have still not assigned an official motive, despite having a wealth of information confirming why Hale committed the shooting. They've had the manifesto, 90 pages of it, for a year and a half, and they still have not come out with an official motive. Can't figure it out. It's like the Las Vegas shooter. It's like the two would-be assassins going after Trump. And then now this, because she's trans. So, I mean, we don't know why she did it. We don't know why she chose a Christian school. It just happened randomly. It says here, there's no question that she committed this atrocity because she believed religion and society more broadly were not affirming of her gender identity. She was the killer everyone had been warning about for years as so-called gender ideology gained steam, and everyone with power has tried to hide that fact. That includes law enforcement authorities. Even law enforcement. This author says this was a gross cover-up that should be answered for, but it won't be. It won't be answered for. Just brush it aside and move on. Listen, we can talk about Trump's desire at one time, long, long ago, to execute General Milley. Execute him. Yeah, did you hear this? If you watch MSNBC, you heard it yesterday. A typical Monday morning. They're an extension of the regime. This, what you heard in that montage, that's how they get their next big contract. They've got to conform. They've got to be propaganda performers every day. Donald Trump, by the way, he came out with this ad. I think it played during some of the football games on Sunday, but it's brilliant in the way that it just puts Kamala right out there. Yeah, she actually said it. Speaking of the trans community and this woke agenda that even government agencies are fully submissive to. Listen to this short ad from over the weekend, clip 4.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
It's hard to believe, but it's true. Even the liberal media was shocked Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners and illegal aliens.
Every transgender inmate would have access.
Kamala's for they, them. President Trump is for you.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
And most other Americans approve of it as well. I saw the Rasmussen guy this morning just talking about how that the polls are fairly even in Pennsylvania, just in the general sense. But then you get into the items on the agenda, on trans, on illegal aliens, and it's overwhelming, the support they have for Trump on the issues. And then, of course, with Kamala, as you know, she's not out there even spelling out her issues. She's just talking it when she does talk openly. It's just in these vague platitudes. That's it. But there she is on tape trying to get prisoners and illegal immigrants trans surgeries, sex operations. And of course, she doesn't pay for it. You do. There you go. You're paying for the invasion at the southern border. And for some prison inmates, sex operation. This is where we are in today's world, at least here in the United States. We're living in a world where America's Department of Justice, its Department of Justice, bends over backwards to even cover up crimes carried out by transgenders while it's out there inciting crimes, inciting murder even, inciting assassination attempts. Look, we've got 150K for you. If we can get another crazy to follow Trump around, Roth was following him around, stalking him for a month. They've got his cell phone activity around that West Palm Beach Golf Club for like 4 or 5 weeks leading up, but they couldn't find it. The Secret Service, they didn't decide to do a sweep until they came up to hole six and Donald Trump was playing the fifth hole. It was that close. With the rifle that he had and the scope, he probably could have gotten off a pretty good shot from where Trump was. I don't know the lay of the land, so maybe it was maybe he was behind a hill. But just saying, yards-wise, why is God protecting Donald Trump? He needs a lot of protection. You can certainly see with five assassination teams, three of them sponsored from abroad, two are domestic. But, you know, if Joe Biden's making an appearance and Kamala somewhere else in Pennsylvania on the same day, give them most of the protection. This issue of the Trumpet magazine. Why is God protecting Donald Trump? Two assassination attempts in the span of just, what, 9 weeks? Sundance makes the point. We've basically already made it here. But the DOJ and the FBI, they do not release manifestos of mass shooters unless it suits their political purposes or aims. They cover them up, as you know, as you just heard. With respect to the trans shooter, they were fighting to the bitter end not to release those documents. It reveals just how politicized these agencies have become. Immediately, Sundance says, people noticed how the DOJ would never normally publish a letter or manifesto that would stimulate the mentally unstable. However, when it comes to Donald Trump, all the DOJ and the FBI customary defensive moves are thrown out. You just toss them out the window. Look, it's Donald Trump we're talking about. And, you know, a majority of Democrats would prefer to see him dead anyway. So let's just make it a little easier for the next crazy to come along, the next would-be assassin. It says here, remember, Donald Trump is their target. Never is he considered a victim. He's the target. He's the number one target. We had a pretty good discussion, even on some of these points. Yesterday with Dinesh D'Souza, we had recorded it Sunday, so it was before the DOJ releases the manifesto. But we talked about Donald Trump's courage. We talked about the assassination attempts on his life just over the last 3 months. It's an interesting exchange, as I say, if you haven't watched that program yet. It's yesterday's Trumpet Daily. You can get to that at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. rumble.com/trumpetdaily. It says here, the letter was transparently released in an effort to do exactly what the DOJ FBI says is the reason why they never permit such evidence to be released. It was released. I mean, from what I saw, it was released without even any redactions. They couldn't even cover up the $150,000 bounty. You can't black that out? No? Hey, listen, we're being transparent. We've got to show every word. What a different tune this is now compared to others, other manifestos. says here, quite simply, they want a mentally unstable person to review and receive the message and to act upon it. It's the truth. It's the truth. It says if the DOJ, and they know this inside the DOJ and the FBI, it's shocking to me, just as an American, that there aren't at least a few people that resign in protest. Listen, you just fought for 18 months to try to conceal the 90-page manifesto that made it obvious what this young woman was aiming for, targeting. And now you're going to show the whole world this one in 5 days' time? Has there been anyone to resign in protest in the FBI, in the DOJ? I guess not. It says, if the DOJ did not want someone to follow up on the bounty from Roth, they wouldn't release it. Because after all, it's dangerous, right? We don't want to incite any crazies to come along. Bill Barr, the former AG, he tells Fox News yesterday, I'm dumbfounded. Why would the DOJ do this? Why would they make it public? This is the best criticism he can come up with. He's dumbfounded. He doesn't see any kind of sinister motivation here at all. He's just dumbfounded. Like it was just some bumbling idiot that accidentally revealed it to the whole world. No, it's something far worse. And he knows. He knows that Donald Trump is the target. You know, Matt Gaetz is there in that podcast yesterday talking about the five teams, the assassination teams, that are out to kill Donald Trump. There's a lot of other Republicans in Congress besides Matt Gaetz. Are they sounding the alarm even? Is Mitch McConnell saying anything about these teams of assassins? This is Joe Bama's DOJ that's now put the bounty out there for the whole world to see. You would think there'd be a few Republicans in Congress that would say, this is outrageous. Forget about being dumbfounded. This is an attack. America's under attack. Well, at least you can get that message here. America's being attacked. Attacked from within. Attacked by Joe Bama's DOJ, Joe Bama's FBI, Joe Bama's White House, Joe Bama's regime, Joe Bama's regime media, all the propagandists. The American Thinker has a piece about the many coincidences. Or are they? When you just analyze both of these assassination attempts. It says assassination attempts on the life of former President Donald Trump by Ryan Roth on September 15 and Thomas Crooks in Butler, Pennsylvania, raised the disturbing possibility of designed convergences of security lapses that give assassins the opportunity to kill. Just get the CIA recruit, you know, give him wads of cash and 6-8 cell phones and fake license plates, and you know, he's poor, he doesn't have any money, but he travels the world. He travels the world. He's got $150,000 for a bounty. He's over there in Ukraine. He's fighting for the Ukrainians. But then we're told he just didn't have any money. How did he afford the bungalow in Hawaii? Just get the front man. Get the recruit. Get the one that's just a little bit unhinged in a violent kind of way. Get the Joe Scarborough viewer, the radical leftist that watches it religiously. And then just clear away the security detail. Simple as that. Or make sure in the case of Crooks that the AG building, nobody's covering that at all. And if they offer, you know, walkie-talkies to communicate with local law enforcement, deny that. Deny the drones. Just get two teams of snipers. Put them behind Trump. Don't put one on the other end of the fairgrounds. Certainly not on the AG building. Just clear it away. Trump's protective detail was purposefully stretched thin. He's right. And you've got members in Congress even, as I said earlier, that are saying the quiet part out loud, that are saying he doesn't deserve Secret Service. He's a convicted felon. So he doesn't deserve to be protected. They want him dead. So obvious. Details are still missing regarding Roth's attempt, but he apparently camped out for approximately 12 hours waiting for Trump to appear at hole 6. Trump was headed that way, teeing off at hole 5, when a Secret Service agent saw a rifle sticking through some shrubbery and flushed Roth out with a few shots. There was no prior sweep done of the golf course. Roth's just able to, I think he showed up at 2 a.m. We still don't even know if this was planned in advance by Trump, at least not that I've read anywhere. But Roth knew. He got there in the middle of the night to find his secluded spot. There's bushes and trees that just surround the golf course, and then just a fence. That's it. That's the layer of protection there for President Donald Trump. And they don't even sweep the perimeter, the Secret Service, until he just comes up to hole 5. Isn't that amazing? Newly consolidated details on Trump's Butler rally reveal a more sophisticated plot. Jill Biden spontaneously decided to speak in Pittsburgh on July 13 at a small event announced only a week prior. Well, I think it was like a week prior when the fake president said that Trump was targeted. We've got to target him. Connect all these dots and it, boy, there's just a lot of questions that come to mind. Jill decides at the last minute. Kamala Harris similarly joined a small event in Philadelphia the same day, confirmed as a speaker on July 10. That's 3 days before Trump spoke in Butler. So suddenly, Jill, Kamala, in Pennsylvania, on the same day that Donald Trump was shot in the ear. It says here, these last-minute additions to the schedule diverted most of Trump's regular protective detail and breached long-standing White House and Secret Service security protocols. But that's okay. I mean, it's just Trump. And look, we've got other engagements that popped up. Local resources were similarly stretched. Police were consumed with traffic duty and told Secret Service they were unable to station a patrol car in front of the AGR complex. Only 3 local snipers from the Butler and Beaver County Emergency Services units were assigned to the entire AGR complex, guarding from the second story window, not on the roof. They're inside. Crooks got on the roof. No one was on the roof over there. It was too steep, remember? It's a little bit like this. And the former director at Secret Service, she said, it was just too dangerous. She actually said that. She actually testified to that. She later resigned, but still, how does she get away with it? How do members of Congress just sit there and, okay, well, I guess it was too steep? Whistleblowers told Congress that United States Secret Service leadership informally told agents not to request extra security specifically for the Butler rally. This allowed Secret Service Deputy Director Rowe, he's the one that replaced the lady, to testify to Congress that all security requests for Butler were approved. A dishonest statement that required preparations prior to the rally. See, he had to be able to testify without perjuring himself. So the mid-level managers were told, now don't you request any additional security. You're not going to get it. And then Roe goes before Congress and says, hey, we answered every request. Yeah. I mean, there weren't any, but we gave Trump what he needed. This is third world stuff, right? It certainly is. After years of denying Secret Service snipers to Trump, Secret Service decided to send 2 teams to cover barn rooftops behind Trump. assigning them at the last minute and giving them almost no preparation time. So what's up with this? Why would they be assigned? He usually doesn't have the sniper teams, but in Butler he did. That seems like it would have given him more protection. But listen to this. Missing was the customary third team, which would have prevented a fan of exposure. Additional problems with their deployment suggest they were security props approved to ward off suspicion post-assassination. That way you can come in. He was supposed to be shot. He was supposed to be murdered that day, Donald Trump. And then the Secret Service, they had it all laid out. They would come forward and say, I don't know how he breached our security. We had so much that day. I mean, he even had a team of two snipers, or two teams of two snipers, counter snipers. It says failing the September 15 assassination attempt was Ryan Roth's mistake of poking his rifle barrel out onto the fairway. Secret Service agents were deployed on the putting green instead of covering all points, allowing the plethora of trees and bushes to be used as cover. Had Roth waited patiently to fire behind cover, agents would have been unable to pinpoint his location, leaving Trump caught in a hail of bullets. It was that close. That close. Why is God protecting this man? This man, Donald Trump. Why is this happening? What is going on? We're seeing some pretty miraculous signs of God's fingerprints all over these stories. Finally here, it says at Butler, the two U.S. Secret Service sniper teams, Hercules 1 and 2, were similarly deployed not to respond to crooks. Secret Service posted them behind the projector, or the protectee, I should say, Donald Trump, instead of overwatching concealed positions such as AGR. It says, positioned on barns directly behind Trump, the northern team, Hercules 2, was not able to see a specific section of AGR 6 obscured by a tree where crooks assembled his weapon and then shot Trump. Finally, he says, mistakes regarding perimeter security, overwatch, aerial surveillance, sweeps, and threat assessment were repeated at Trump's golf course. So many similar mistakes. Coincidence? I think not. There's a lot of people in the swamp and across the nation that want him dead. There's a lot of people internationally, a lot of powerful people internationally that want him dead. As Matt Gaetz confirmed in that bit from yesterday, we played it there in the cold open. 5 assassination teams, 3 of them sponsored by nations abroad or movements, organizations abroad, and 2 of them homegrown. They're looking to get Trump in the worst, most violent possible way, through assassination. You've got to do it. Why? Well, because he's a threat to democracy. He tried to overthrow the government. He tried to execute Mike Pence. He tried to execute Mark Milley. He's that dangerous. So he has to be removed. He has to be eliminated, as Representative Goldman said. We've got to eliminate him. And at least twice, they very nearly did. If you want to read more about why all of this is happening, make sure that you request America Under Attack. I've also held up the issue of Trumpet Magazine just from last month. Why is God protecting this man? Both of these, the book and a subscription to the Trumpet, we offer free, without cost or obligation. We just need your mailing information. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.